Welcome to this overview and scrutiny committee on Wednesday, the 27th of February. Chairman's notices. Sound recording of the meeting. Please note the council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the council's website. The start of the meeting, an announcement will be made about the sound recording. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be given permission to be included in the recording. Fire. In the event of fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exit mark with the green running man. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance of council office. Please gather there and wait for further instructions. Health and safety. Please be advised of different levels of flooring within the council chamber. There are steps behind the main horseshoe as well to the side of the room. Closed circuit television. This meeting is being monitored and recorded by CCTV. Apologies for absence.
Apologies have been received from Councillor Dobson.
And we've got a substitution, haven't we?
Substitution is Councillor Pratt.
Right. Minutes of the last meeting on pages 5 to 10. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7.
Page 7,
Jen. I was waiting for you.
Thank you. I would have a lot to say today. I'll just warn you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, where are we? It's the delay in the wastewater one, wherever that is.
Hang on.
Is that page 7?
I've got minutes 727.
We page have 8.
Oh, beg your pardon. I'm a little ahead of myself.
We're happy with page 7.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, page 8.
Page 8.
Councillor Savage.
Okay, it's two bullet points up from the resolve dealing with wastewater.
Yes.
And it says, or it should say, at this point, Councillor Savage provided information regarding the need for a licence for the sewage works throughout the district. And public and press awareness when discharging into river. Basically, this for those not familiar, most of the sewage works that discharge into our river are Victorian. And since they have an Environment Agency licence to discharge almost untreated sewage in flood attempts in the river on a licence, every 5 years they apply for their licence to be renewed. When it comes up, I think we should object to it, and they would have to bring their sewage works up to the 21st century. That's the reason for it.
Is that noted?
Yes, we'll amend the...
It's for the sewage works, yeah, all of them, not just ours.
We just amend the minutes. I don't think we can... We'll listen to the tape. I don't think we can amend it to provide comment on whether we should object to it every 5 years, but we will amend the minute for
that's the reason why I raised the sewage works.
Yes. Right. Anything more on page 8? Councillor Savage.
No.
Page 9.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Page what have I got? Oh, yes. Near to the lower part, it says the Director of Resources proposed that she met with Councillor Savage, which she's done, and it was a very interesting meeting, and produced a report on this area, which has as yet not been done, as far as I know, because it's not here.
Okay. Anything more on page 9?
How long have I got to think about it?
Page 10. Everybody happy?
Agreed.
Okay. Public participation, is there any?
There is none.
There are none. Disclosure of interest, members? Any disclosure of interest? Right. Right, move on to presentation from the Clinical Commissioning Group. We have Dr. Julie McGeechy. Nearly good, was it?
Yeah.
And Daniel Doherty and
James Wilson.
No Daniel Doherty then. Okay. Right, would you like to start? One of you like to start?
I'll start. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
So... I'm really pleased to be able to come this evening to present to you, and I think this is the first time I've been to your committee. So, I guess my role in the CCG is I'm responsible for out-of-hospital care and how we bring together mental health, community services and primary care services and try and improve them and more and more, and I'll talk a bit in a moment about how we need to do that more and more in partnership with organisations like Morden District Council, because there's a real push now to try and look beyond what is the kind of traditional providing for services where we make people better, to looking about how can we actually prevent people becoming unwell and those kind of wider determinants of health. The next slide, if we may just move on, is a graphic which, as the CCG, we've developed over the past few months, which really takes what we were traditionally focused on as an organisation. So that kind of live well wheel bit in the centre, so how we commission services to ensure people start well, be well, stay well, age well and die well, had been a predominant focus of the CCG. And what you see there on that kind of white outer ring is the kind of services that we're really looking to kind of wrap around what would be the kind of core of general practice, so mental health services, different kind of professionals, social care, the voluntary sector, pharmacists, and that's been something that I'll touch on in a second around some of our work to date on that. But what we've committed to as a CCG, and it's really evident in the new NHS long-term plan, is actually if we're going to ensure we've got sustainable healthcare services moving forward, we really need to start talking more about prevention and about population health. So what we're doing about health in terms of education, what we're doing in terms of getting people into good employment, in terms of housing and air quality, because all these things have a positive impact on people's health. There's the more kind of traditional things that we all recognise around kind of smoking cessation, about having active lifestyles and weight management, and some of the work that you're doing in Morden District Council around the kind of health and wellbeing and looking to do very much in partnership with ourselves, I think it's going to really start to major on some of those areas. And as a CCG, we're just starting to see how we can restructure internally our team. So we're now getting a dedicated team focused on the Morden district, the Braintree district and the Central district, to start really developing some of those partnerships moving forward, because I think we see that working more closely together is going to be really important for the future. Just to touch on some of the work that's happened specifically around primary care, because that's the kind of main focus for the topic this evening. We've had something called our Primary Care Foundations Programme in Mid-Essex, which has been looking at how can we ensure that we build a really strong foundation of primary care across the whole of Mid-Essex and ensure that we've got a sort of sustainable primary care moving forward. Is something that we've done to take a lot of the kind of shackles off our funding streams that we usually give to primary care, trying to do that in a kind of less bureaucratic way and supporting primary care on some of the priority areas, but making it, allowing, I guess, the practices and the practices in Morden to utilise that funding where it makes sense for those practices in the areas where it will have the most benefit. For example, over the last year, there's been £345,000 of additional funding going in to support a diversified workforce, so enabling GP practice to recruit different types of healthcare professionals, recognising that actually, even if we wanted to, it's really difficult to continue to recruit GPs in the Morden area, in the Essex area, nationally. There isn't that availability of that general practice expertise. So we've got a number of different roles in the Morden area, so advanced nurse practitioners, we've got nurse prescribers, we've got matrons, healthcare assistants, all coming in to slightly diversify the offer to the public and enable them to get healthcare advice support where it's appropriate, but not necessarily take up the precious time of the GPs that we have got in the area. It's something then that, if we move on to the next slide, it is really congruent with the new NHS long-term plan. So for those of you who haven't read it, it's quite a weighty document available on the NHS website. And this talks about really trying to change the focus of the NHS away from traditional acute services where we and me personally I've spent a long time commissioning those services, trying to get the most efficient acute services. Actually, I think there's a real recognition in the new long-term plan that actually we need to get good, strong primary and community services and really focus on that kind of outer wheels of the diagram you saw before, improving, really focusing on prevention to build that sustainable healthcare for the future. Something that is part of the new NHS long-term plan is a term called primary care networks. You can probably replace that term with what historically we might have called localities, or in some instances it was called primary care kind of clusters or groups. And what that means is that, and there's a very clear timetable and structure around this in the new plan, it's setting out the need for practices to start to work more collaboratively together and form these networks. And that will become a real foundation and building block for then the integration of services and the looking after of the wider health and well-being of that population. That there's a significant amount of additional money going in to support that, and that's going to start to drip through over the coming years. And initially, there's going to be an amount of money coming in to support additional diversified roles. So some of those roles that we I mentioned that we've already got in the Maldon area, there's going to be additional money for in the first year, some people to do some social prescribing work and some additional clinical pharmacists. And that over the then coming years, there's additional support and money for physiotherapists to come into those networks. There's support for paramedics and clinicians, physicians' assistants coming in. And there's also a real drive for those networks to start integrating much more with the community services, mental health services, and it's seen as the mechanism for additional funding coming into the NHS moving forward. So I guess that's something that we are, as a CCG, grappling with. How do these networks start to emerge? There's a tight timetable for these to be in place by May. And I guess the focus that Dr. Magici will describe in a minute is about actually where in Maldon we are to a certain extent ahead of the game in some of these collaborations, and there's some great work already happening where practices are starting to think and work together on a more collaborative footing. So I'll pause there and I'll hand over to Dr. Magici to talk about a bit more what's happening in the Dengie area. If we can maybe move to the next slide.
Thank you, James. I would like to just reiterate what James has been saying about how our CCG is probably ahead of the curve as far as planning things are concerned. And certainly I think we're 12 months ahead of the NHS long-term plan, because I don't know if you remember, but 12 months ago Dan Doherty was here talking about primary care foundations and how that was going to improve the lot of GPs. And I would certainly say that that is, has gone a long way to improving where we were from 12 months ago. So in our area in particular, we've got additional staff who are working out of my surgery, and we're sharing that staff with other practices as well, and starting to see the benefits from that. So I want to start off with talking about GP recruitment, because 12 months ago I was mentioning just how awful it was. Nationally, it's a big problem, GP recruitment. In Essex, it's thought that by next year, 50% of all GPs will reach retirement age, or eligible to retire. So that means beyond the age of 55. In the Dengie area, we're already at that point, because 50% of us are over the age of 55, and I include myself in that. So we've got to do something about that. We've got to try and recruit GPs to the area. If we fall over in the Dengie, if we can't recruit, that's going to have a huge knock-on effect in Maldon, South Woodham, Chelmsford. So it's really important that we make the Dengie an attractive place to work. So what have we done about it? Well, we know that there's the Chelmsford Medical School, but GPs won't come online from there for at least about 10 years. In our practice, and in collaboration with William Fisher, we've become a training practice. So at the beginning of February, we had our first trainee start, and he will be with us for 18 months. So at the moment at our practice, he's probably only seeing about 6 patients a day. But by 18 months, he'll be up to 25 to 30 patients a day. So we've got additional staff in that respect. But we're also hoping that we will grow our own, and we will have local GPs who will want to stay in the Dengie area. I know that in Burnham Surgery as well, they're a training practice, and they've had trainees come through. And these are the first 2 trainees that we've had in the Dengie area, probably, well, certainly in my time, and I've been here 20 years now. So that's the first thing, we've got trainees. The second thing that we're doing, this is something in collaboration with NHS England and with the CCG, is that we are collaborating with William Fisher and with Burnham, and we're trying to introduce something that we're calling the 15-minute project. Currently, GPs see patients every 10 minutes, which worked very well 20-odd years ago when most people came with simple things and they weren't as sick as they are, and they're not as old as they are now. But now I cannot manage to see a patient in 10 minutes. It can take me 10 minutes to get them up the corridor and back down again. So we do need longer to see increasingly elderly and more complex patients. Now, that's all very well having 15 minutes, but if you spread that out over the day, we've also got to limit the number of consultations that we do in order to do quality consultations. NHS England, the LMC, the Royal College of GPs have all recommended that there is a safe limit to the number of consultations that GPs should be doing. And that's thought to be about 25 patients a day. For us to do that, we've got to educate our patients that not every, you know, sore finger needs to be seen by a GP. They can be seen by somebody else. So there's a big work on, and I think that's something that CCG are doing, practices are doing, but we would encourage Maldon District Council to support us in this, in persuading patients that they don't always need to see a GP first. They can see other people, they can see pharmacists, they can see other members of the primary healthcare team. So that's the first thing. We have to educate our reception staff to be able to ask questions and to allow patients to tell them what's wrong with them so that they can direct the patient to the right person. And we also need very good IT and support services, so a lot of decent admin. Much of this is coming through the primary care foundations, but in the Dengie area, we have this additional funding and additional support to be able to get the 3 practices working closely together to work out ways that we can deliver on this. Now, the hope is that if we can deliver on this, and that there are fewer patient consultations per day, that this will make it a more attractive proposition for new GPs. I think that over the last 10 years, GP trainees have seen overworked, stretched practices, and that's probably put them off going into partnerships just yet. So we need to make general practice in the Dengie as attractive as possible, and we think this is one of the ways that we'll be able to do that. The second thing that we're working on, and this is a project that I've been looking at with Provide and with Essex County Council, is to create a scheme of something called neighbourhood care. Now, this is let me go back a bit. Currently, district nurses, social workers, OTs, physios, they get involved with patients at home, but they cover a very, very wide geographical area, and they flit in and out, and they have a lot of work to do and a lot of geography to cover and a lot of bureaucracy to be able to deliver that care. So it causes frustrations for staff. And it also means that for frail elderly patients, they may see very many care workers who come and see them in their own homes. which causes confusion for them and for their families. So the idea behind neighbourhood care is that we create teams within these areas, within certain localities, that contain all the right members of staff and they remain in one geographical area. Now, that hasn't really happened because in the past, the other idea behind it is that you create a team, a big team of these neighbourhood care workers who are, I won't say attached to general practices, but work very closely and collaboratively with the general practices. Last November, I went out to Holland with members of Essex County Council and with some of my district nurse colleagues, and we looked at how that is working out in Holland. And it was a project called the Burtzog Project, which means neighbourhood care. And we were very impressed by what we saw and have spent the last few months working out how we can translate that into our local system and particularly into the Denji. So we've got two main strands of work going at the moment. There's the 15-minute project, where we try to limit the number of patient consultations per day to create safety for patients and to create a better working environment for GPs. And there's the neighbourhood care model that we're working on. Now, I have no timetable for this. I don't know when this is going to happen. We've got lots of organisations who are looking at all of these things. But the GP practices involved, we are talking together, we're meeting together, we're working out ways that we can share staff, share ideas, share working space even. I've got one of the Southminster doctors who's currently coming to work in Malensea practice because they haven't got space in William Fisher practice. So we're trying to share our resources as best we can to give the best possible service that we can. So that's what I really want to talk about, is how we're all working collaboratively, how we have moved on considerably in the last 12 months, and I think the future's looking quite exciting. And that's it.
Okay. Are you willing to take any questions?
Yep.
Members? Councillor Savage?
Thank you for the presentation. That was very interesting, and I hope it all goes through. What I would like, my question is, are you aware of Agenda Item 7, which is our Section 106 agreements? Because according to my elementary maths, there's over £500,000 worth of NHS money that's in this council's bank account, accrued over many years, to which no one's ever asked for a penny.
James.
I think that's the doctor hands over to me. I'm not directly aware of that, Councillor Savage, that our expert in terms of Section 106 monies and accessing that, Kerry Harding, our Director of Estates, I think he's coming to an estates meeting with a number of councillors on the 26th of March, and I think that would be a really good place to have that debate about, actually, if there's more opportunity to utilise some of that money, then obviously we'd be keen to do that. I think for the Heybridge Garden suburb development, there's certainly been some comments fed back from the our Director of Estates about the Section 106 monies around that, and it's something that obviously we're keen, if there's funding there that we can utilise to improve NHS services, then that's all for the good and we want to be doing that.
Did you want to answer?
Yeah, if I could. Thank you, Chair. The report referred to, which we'll come to later, does actually outline where all of that money is due to be spent, and there's regular meetings with the NHS to make sure that the funding that's being collected through Section 106 is programmed into the delivery plans of the NHS. And that is clearly set out. And in Appendix B of that report, it does highlight where those funds are due to be allocated to.
May I have a supplementary?
Councillor Hurd is next, and then you can come back again.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you very much indeed for your presentation. Just a couple of things. Something for James. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your second name.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, okay. To your or the CCG's knowledge, has there been any progress at all on the provision of something to replace our hospital?
Again, I don't have the... because I think there's a couple of meetings that are going to happen to specifically update on progress around the hospital and the estates issues. But in terms of what's happening with St. Peter's, which I think is your specific question, so as I'm sure members of the committee will be aware, the wider acute reconfiguration has been referred to the Secretary of State at the moment, and that's caused some delays to the wider plans around the acute side of potentially the use of that site in Maldon Hospital. However, there's been a commitment to actually not let that delay the requirement for actually the ongoing need for primary care, and there has been a project manager secured to take responsibility for driving that forward, and there's a plan for an outline business case due by September to identify how that can be moved forward in terms of development, and I think there's a couple of site options within that. That's something that the Maldon operational group, which I think is a historic group that had been running, is now going to be back up and running, and I think the first meeting of that is next week, where I believe there's a councillor representation from Maldon District Council on that to kind of oversee and I guess hold that project manager and the team to account around timelines for that development.
Well, might I just have a supplementary
on that, Councillor Savage? Okay, you carry on.
Oh, thank you. So the reason that I ask that is because about I think it was about 3 years ago we had five representatives here from people who supply equipment, people who supply the doctors who build the hospitals, etc., and they weren't talking to each other at all until we were able to have them all here. And that was 3 years ago, and a lot of people's perception is that no hospital is a council issue, whereas it's clearly not. It's NHS trying to decide where and when and how much. And really, I was just after to see how much progress had been made since those people were put together and whether or not anything has come out of that. I fear that it hasn't, but I would urge you to speak to your colleagues because there's not a single councillor on this council that doesn't want a hospital or something to replace it. We all want it, and we all want it as soon as possible. So I've got just one question for Dr. McGeechee as well, if I may, and that is, I hear what you're saying about that, and I do wish you very much luck with that project, but it does seem to me that we're simply slicing the meat a bit thinner. What we're talking about is consultation limits, educating the public not to go to a doctor, and fewer consultations to encourage more doctors. Is there anything more that's coming out of this rather than making what we've got go round more, please?
I think it's about, when we look at the number of people that we've got coming through every day, we've done a lot of workflow audits, so we've done a lot of mapping of the sort of conditions that people are coming through with. And we know that for many conditions, they don't need to see a GP. But they could be seen by a nurse practitioner who can probably deal with the condition in many instances far better and with more time than a GP can. So it's not about reducing patients' ability to see somebody. It's just ensuring that they see the right person and that it will then allow GPs to see much more complex conditions in more difficult people.
Okay, thank you for that. Last year that we were here, Chairman, I did ask whether or not what this council could do to help, and the suggestion was that a notice to go out asking people to say, do you really need to see a doctor? Is there somebody else there? Those could go out with the rate demands. They're going out and they're being posted anyway. So if there were any leaflets, maybe would this council be prepared?
I think we said the same thing last year.
Well, we said it, but I'm not sure that it happened, Chairman. Okay. Could we ask if it did happen?
It didn't happen because the deadline for the publication of leaflets, the meeting was too late for the deadline of the publication of leaflets. That's correct, Mr. Holmes, isn't it? Yeah.
Is that something we could do this year?
I think we probably passed the deadline. We should be talking about these back in November. I think our postal run's obviously a huge commitment of the council. So, you know, if we're going to do that, we need to forward plan that to a point. And in the autumn, we should be discussing that.
Comment. Certainly, if as many voices are giving a consistent message, it does make a difference with the public. I see that, for example, with messages about antibiotics. So many organisations are now telling patients, don't ask for antibiotics, and they're not. And that's a huge difference in 5 years. So if we can get that consistent message across from all organisations, it will make a difference.
Right, Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. I hear what the Director said about Section 106 monies. We collect it because it's something that has to be done when the planning applications go in at a large scale. We get the money, it goes in the bank account. It enters the programme on things to do, as he said. But over the years I've been a councillor, so little of it appears to have actually come to fruition. That was my point. So if it is going to start to come to fruition, and then I'm very pleased about it. But in the past, it's been disillusioned.
Can you answer that, Councillor Dobson? I mean, Paul, aren't I?
Yes, I think, you know, we've spoken previously that programme approach to making sure that the projects are delivered is something that we're working on to improve the delivery. And I'd say it's starting to pay dividends. For example, the Trinity Medical Practice improvement project there is underway, relocating records to accommodate an additional GP. So, you know, there is evidence that spend is starting to happen and the developments are being delivered.
It's one example.
Right, Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not sure who to address the question, so I'll put it through you, Chairman. I'm the ward member for Burnham South, and for a long time I was a patient at the Burnham practice. Since moving to Southminster, I'm now in Willie Fisher's. So I've had experience of both, and I constantly hear complaints from patients how long it takes. And when you actually drill down and talk to the practice doctors, their concern is the fact that, I understand you've got trainees, but doctors are reluctant to live in the dengue. And that's the problem. It's not about having a trainee and saying we've got someone coming through and it'll be great in X years' time. I think it's about retaining those youngsters who wants to live so far out in the country. Is it not a unique sort of area? Does the council, and I'll pick up what Councillor Hurd has said, does the council need to encourage through a financial... I'm not sure how we can help, but... It's this retention that is our problem.
Yeah, I welcome that comment. The BMA has recognised that the worst places to recruit GPs are coastal areas or rural areas, and in the dengue we're both. Yeah. So it's a national problem, but it's particularly acute. And the dengue area was identified by NHS England as being a real problem area. There's only three places in the country they've identified. So the dengue is one. I can't remember where the other two were now. But that's why they're focusing on us and trying to do this 15-minute project, because it's one of a series of things that they're looking at to improve GP recruitment.
Because although the 15 minutes sounds great to me as a patient, because my doctor can never get rid of me in 10 minutes, I'm always 25 minutes, whether that's because I'm elderly or what, or so complex, I don't know. Probably both. But surely by going from 10 minutes to 15 minutes, you're actually reducing your capacity. But in my terms, coming from a sort of production, what you're doing is actually slowing the production line down, and you're going to do less patients, so you actually need more doctors, which is compounding your problem.
But if you use alternative practitioners, if you're using nurse practitioners, that's what you do, which is why Primary Care Foundations has been about diversifying the workforce. So we've seen funding come into general practice for the first time in many years. We've got more funding for more staff, and we've got more diverse staff now, which is why nobody can park at my car park, because I've got so many staff, no rooms to put them in. But, you know, that's how we're trying to deal with it.
Councillor Ayer.
Oh, thank you, Chairman. I want to pick up on something that's already been mentioned. I remember...
Thank you, sir. I remember very well last year's meeting. I was quite excited that we could actually help by sending out these leaflets. Now I gather it didn't happen, which really disappoints me. And you're now telling me we've missed the deadline for this year as well. I mean, should we be holding this meeting with these very helpful people in September, so we can meet the deadline in November? Because if this little... We're not health professionals. We can only spread the word. And if we can put a leaflet in every council tax demand, which is every house in our district, that surely must be a big advantage.
If I may, I think what for me would be the best thing for Morden District Council to help, and it's happening, is that the join up around the Live Well strategy or health and wellbeing strategy, and to join that up with the work that we're doing, so we have one integrated strategy around how we're going to try and improve the health and wellbeing of the population of Morden together. And it's really that wide, those outer bits of that ring that we were talking about, and doing that in a joined up way, I think, is the real important thing for us to be doing collectively. And it's starting and working very closely with Ben in the public health team there to try and see how we can do that. And that's why we're committing to make sure we're orientating some of our team to specifically focus on the Morden area and the Braintree area, for doing the same thing there in the Chelmsford area, because we recognise that actually we need to be working more in partnership and as one around some of these issues, because to tackle some of the demands coming into Dr. Magucci's surgery, actually, yeah, we can play with the kind of resourcing and how we the staffing mix and getting that more efficient. But ultimately, we need to make sure people are weller and less demanding of the health services for longer. And then there's some other things the new plan talks about in terms of, you know, looking at more digital options and other things that's kind of come in and help some of the rural areas. But they're a bit of a way off. So I think that partnership working between us and Morden District Council, I think, is a real key thing. And I think it would be a really great thing for this committee to maybe in the future to kind of get more of an overview from.
Anybody else?
Just as a helpful suggestion, perhaps. Obviously, many people are waiting in for blood tests, etc. I quite often see in many doctors' surgeries the same poster 6 feet away from the other one. You know, don't do this, don't do this. It's the same thing. That would be a good place, perhaps, to display these posters to say, do you really need to see a doctor? These are the people that you can see. And I'm sure we would display one in our waiting areas if we had those, wherever the public wait.
So I think you're absolutely right, and it needs to be a blend of a variety of different kind of media to kind of engage the public. So we've got a comms campaign which is just about to launch, which promotes the kind of use of different health professionals. When can you go and see a physio? When can you see a pharmacist? When can you see a nurse practitioner? What skills do they have? And there's some posters that are going to be supporting that. There's going to be some kind of short videos that for surgeries, you've got the screens in the surgeries where there's things playing to be able to enable those. There's also, obviously, a large portion of our population are using social media and different mediums and that, trying to get the message out that way. So our communications team's going to try and do quite a big kind of multi-layered comms campaign to try and support this. I think that will get us only so far, and it's consistently trying to reinforce those messages. And I think that's where the kind of ongoing partnership working with the district council here and here, all the events that are run and different things, making sure that we're consistently putting that message out there is really key, I think.
Any more questions? I guess. Go on then, Councillor Savage.
Well, I've kept this one to last because I wanted to hear what other people say. And we do have our director here. It's another question that you might know. I've read in this report, and I can't remember where, that the government are proposing that the strict regulations on how we spend SIL are going to be relaxed. Can that in any way add further funding to the GP's requirements?
Pardon me. It is correct that the both Section 106 and SIL, the funding regulations are changing, which is mainly about the number of developments that can be combined, contributions from various developments. It was limited previously, and now they've taken that limit away. What it means in terms of further funding being available, I mean, in terms of the health projects, most of those are identified as mitigation of the projects that are coming through, of the development that's happening. But obviously gives us more flexibility and something we can look at. I can't really give a yes or no answer to the question.
That's good enough.
Councillor Pudney, would you like to say anything, being you're the lead member on health?
Thank you, Jan. Well, yes, thank you very much for your address. It was very helpful. I sit on the HOSC up at Essex County. I believe I've seen you up there, haven't I? Yeah. I think I quite agree. There is a big problem, and we've heard this at the HOSC meetings. There is a big problem with recruitment of GPs. So they're very, very short. And a lot of it is down to the fact that, as Councillor Hurd said, they don't want to actually live out in the country. They want to be where it's probably busier. A lot of them as well, I have been told, they like to work at a GP practice, not full-time, but just do a short term and then move on somewhere else. Some of them even go abroad. And I think it is quite a difficult thing that they are trying to address, and congratulations for trying to do it. It's very good. And I would say that I was supposed to have attended a meeting with the I'm the elected member for the advisory on Broomfield Hospital, and there were GPs and things supposed to have been there at the last meeting held a couple of weeks ago, which when I turned up it was cancelled. And I didn't know about it, but there is another one coming up shortly which I should be attending. But I would like to say thank you for what you're doing, and I won't be at the HOSC meeting on this coming week because I've got to take my wife for a hospital appointment. It's in the morning, so I can't make it, but I will get all the information for members because I've already told them I can't make it. So well done, and hopefully things can improve. The only other thing is I quite agree with what's been said about the Malden Hospital. I used to sit on a panel a few years ago, I believe it was with Dr. McGeechy as well, and we did a survey of Malden Hospital, and because I was at the time working at Broomfield Hospital in the outpatient department, I did the outpatients, and I spoke to a lot of the staff then, and I'm going back now 10, 11 years, and a lot of them even then were saying that the hospital was becoming, well, unsuitable for what it's... I mean, it never was a hospital in the first place. It was a workhouse. Mm. I mean, that was what it originally was, and I've seen some of the rooms where they were kept. Not very nice at all. But even then, it was becoming inefficient for what it was, and I really would love to see another hospital built to provide really what they're doing now, and we do need we do need the stroke ward, we need the rehab wards, and we need outpatients, we need X-ray, we need everything that's there now, and I really would like to see that. So thank you very much.
Any other members? I'd like to thank you very much for coming along. You're obviously doing an excellent job in the Dengie. I'm not so sure about the hospital, because that's been going for how many years, Councillor Jewett?
Oh,
20-something.
So that's, we gave up in the
end. My wife used to work in St Peter's and Broomfield and St John's 45 years ago. So I know what it was like then, and it's still the same. So anyway, thank you very much for coming along. You've informed us very greatly, and we appreciate what you're doing very much.
Thank you.
Do you want someone want to see you out? Thank you very much again. Just wait for Mr. Foy to come back again, and we'll resume the meeting.
I find it slightly ironic that the doctors don't wish to live in a healthy countryside.
A lot of them actually, as I said, they don't want to be employed at a doctor's surgery for very long. They want to be there for, say, 6 months, maybe a year, and then they move on. And it's quite a shame, really.
You can. Yeah, it's yours next. We'll wait till Emma comes back, and then you can carry on.
I'll certainly be listening to this tape, because it's not often people on top tape the same positive way.
Well, I think I'll adjourn the meeting till Miss Foy comes back, and then you can have a chat amongst yourselves while we're waiting.